All right, GDC 2008, XNA World, and you're somebody who's done something very interesting. Who are you?
So they tell me. My name is James Silva, and I created the dishwasher Dead Samurai.
Which is what?
Which is, should I just play or should I just...
Well, just tell me the game. I mean, what is it? It's an XNA game written in managed code?
It is, it's an XNA game. It's created in C#, and built on the XNA framework. It is headed for Xbox Live Arcade.
Nice. Very cool. Microsoft person.
Yes.
Who are you?
Mitch Walker. I'm program manager on the XNA community game platform team. So we're the team responsible for building XNA Game Studio and the XNA framework.
Right on.
Yep, I'm also on the XNA community game platform team. My name's Michael Klucher, and I'm also a program manager.
Outstanding. So you guys are the people who helped create the platform for people like this man over here to innovate. So let's talk quickly about what you made before we start talking about XNA, because I definitely want to get into that. So talk about the game. Tell us. You want to take us through it and just explain what's going on?
Sure, yeah. Let's see. We'll do an arcade level. This is arcade mode. It's like we get sort of short levels where they just throw a couple waves of enemies at us. And this one's on a train. So there's zombies. Pretty easy to take out. Blood splatters all over the screen. So nice work to it.
Interesting.
This guy can warp around or at will.
So you created all the graphics for this as well?
I did. That's graphics, all the music. I don't know how well it's going to come out there, but I love the music.
So we're on a train right now?
Yeah, the setting is sort of just, the backdrop. The game's also got a story mode where you go makes sense. It's all part of the story. That is the dishwasher's quest for revenge against the evil cyborgs.
Interesting.
So yeah, but the arcade mode is just one setting to the next.
That's the dishwasher, huh?
That is the dishwasher. Well, actually, this is for co-op mode or for arcade mode. It's two different characters. They're not the dishwasher. They look similar enough to him. But I named them Loic and Hargreaves. And Hargreaves, that's named after XNA's own Sean Hargreaves.
Cool.
Just because I met him at Game Fest and he's British, so he gets props for that.
So let's talk a little bit about why you called it dishwasher, and talk a little bit about the history of what was behind the development of this game.
I was a dishwasher a couple years ago. I was a dishwasher, and at like a sort of a fakey upscale Italian restaurant. Meaning all the items on the menu were in Italian, but none of the waiters knew how to pronounce them.
Oh, nice.
I was a dishwasher, and I was getting no respect, and I was starting to convince myself that, a story about a dishwasher just, becoming this total force to be reckoned with would just be awesome, mm-hmm. And I was sort of inspired by Bruce Lee's story. He was a dishwasher, and then became, he was an actor, but he was also, just a wicked awesome dude.
Mm. Very cool.
Yep, so that was where the idea of the game was born, and mm-hmm. then took a while to actually get around to putting it together. I had a couple different visions for how it should look, and it just, the timing was perfect with when XNA came out, when the ability to deploy on Xbox 360 was realized. It was perfect timing. I put the game together, and the rest is history.
Cool. And clearly, you were a gamer. I mean, you're already playing games a lot.
Yeah. I mean, this has always been a dream of mine ever since my parents bought us a Nintendo way back in the old days.
8-bit system. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they started to ban Nintendo during the week, so I was like, okay, well, if I want to play games, I guess I have to make them now, because that doesn't count, you know? So I got into, like, you know, the basic text adventures, you know, and I was, like, making these text adventures where if you went to the wrong room, you would die, you know? Mm-hmm. You were in a room, do you go east or north? East, you die. You know, those...
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Excellent, man. Well, so, you know, XNA has enabled this. Looks like a pretty sophisticated game written by one person.
Yeah, it's amazing what James has been able to do.
Yeah.
And that was really our goal was, you know, we had kind of two goals when we started this. One was to make it easier to create games. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, for somebody just learning or trying to get into it, there's just so much you have to worry about that you don't get to have fun in trying to express, just get your ideas down into a game. Instead, you're messing with Windows and graphics devices and,
sure,
and things like that. So we wanted to get rid of that so you could just start working on your game. And then once we did that, the other goal was then to get more and more people creating games, mm-hmm. You know, just to open that up. And then what we just announced on Wednesday then is finally make it easier, get more people creating games,
yeah,
and then give them an audience and allow the millions of people on Xbox Live to be able to play these games. And that's what we're going to turn that on this holiday. So
let me get that straight. You're going to have people be able to make games, and then people can play them. That's what you're saying. Upload them to somewhere on the internet.
Right. Yep.
Play them on their Xbox.
Yeah, so you submit them. We have what we're calling a peer review system where the other creators will kind of make sure the game is suitable, and then it goes out. But anybody... we'll be able to go into the marketplace, Xbox Live marketplace, and download these hundreds and hopefully thousands of games.
Very, very cool. Now, one of the things to talk about a little bit about XNA, and I've been asking the people that I've been interviewing, what does XNA stand for? Number one.
It's doesn't really stand for anything. It's just three letters.
I've heard mixed reports.
Heard mixed reports, huh?
XNA is not an acronym.
Yeah, XNA is not an acronym.
So cross-platform next generation architecture, I think, is probably kind of. But so what XNA is on the broad scale is it's everything that Microsoft does with game technology and tools. So, you know, XNA is not just XNA Game Studio, but it also covers the DirectX SDK, the Xbox development platform for making those games, and then our support, our developer support, and like certification publishing process as well. So it's really everything to do with games.
Everything games.
We're just one small part of that.
Right on. But it's a very interesting part.
Yes.
Because he just wrote a game in managed code,
yeah,
and many of the developers that are here at GDC are C++ developers, right?
Yes.
So that's really cool, and you're able, as one person, you don't have a test team, you don't have program managers, you just created a cool game, and now people are going to be able to play it.
Yeah.
Really interesting model.
Yeah.
So when did this model come into being? I mean, is this part of a contest? How did this all start?
So this started from a contest we had last year called Dream Build Play, where we set up a website and basically announced to the community that we wanted to try to get some games in and see what people could do. And basically we decided that the first prize would be a contract to get your game published on Xbox Live Arcade. And there were actually so many great games, we actually ended up giving 4 contracts away. And,
wow.
Instead of just one. So that we got a lot of really good games from that. And certainly, like... we've seen good progress on all of the people who have done stuff, but James is, you know, he was part of the keynote at GDC last year where we announced the winners and that sort of thing. Game Fest last year where we announced the winner of it and that sort of thing. So
cool. And so you've been hanging out with the other people who've written games, and you guys thinking about starting your own company?
I don't know.
I'm just playing.
I tell you, I love working, on my own, because I'm sort of a control freak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if I can have like complete control over everything that comes out, you know, it's a good feeling.
So, in other words, for this game, you're in control of the story, the design, the architecture, the implementation details. Right. Now, did you have friends test it for you during development, or what?
I try to get them to, and they help out sometimes.
Yeah, and they give you some advice. Yeah. You know, and like, hey, man, it'd be cool if you did this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
blew this person's head off. Or, so are you thinking about strategy? Are you thinking about making another game?
Yeah, you know,
you
I mean,
continue doing this
for the most part. All I can really think about is just getting this one done. You know, I've had a lot of fun this week, but I know as soon as I get back to upstate New York, I'm just, you know.
You're gonna be cold. Running. That's the first thing.
Well, yeah, I'll be cold. Although this week's been a little bit chilly.
Yeah, up here in San Fran.
Yeah, all the rain. I'm just gonna hit the ground running, and there's so much work done. It's in such good shape, but mm-hmm. there's still just, you know, a little bit to do, and I want to nail that and get this game out there.
Cool. I mean, and that actually brings up a good point because this is an internet-based sort of publishing model, right? I mean, he writes his game, publishes it up to some cloud service, and then
right.
So in other words, he can have real-time updates, and the users just get them. Is that how that the plan?
Yeah, in a way. So his title, Dishwasher, will be on it'll be an Xbox Live Arcade title, which is where you can go in and purchase them through Marketplace. And yeah, we have the ability to update a title if necessary, but yeah. I'm sure we won't need to do that. It's
such confidence.
Yes,
such confidence. Yeah.
Right. So
interesting. Okay, so I guess I misunderstood. I was thinking in terms of like kind of games that evolve over time.
Right. So Xbox Live Arcade, it's digital distribution of the game, so it's, you know, it's similar to buying it on the shelf at a retailer. But now I can just, you can buy it and download them through Xbox Live.
Okay.
So, you know, it's, in that case, they're a commercial game that's coming out, and, you know, they get it done and ship it, right?
Yeah. So. I see. Shrink wrap and sell it.
Right.
So arcade is not... So an arcade game is different than an Xbox Live game. It's different than... So I'm just confused. I'm not a gamer, again. All right, so I mean,
it's a little different from the community games that we were talking about, where anybody can put them up there and create them. You know, Xbox Live Arcade is another form, another type of game, another kind of distribution model.
Okay.
Usually they're going to be, you know, probably a little bigger teams, maybe a little... depth and
more than one person
oftentimes, although as we see that's not always required or right. So and that's one of our goals as well, is to lower the cost, because the cost of creating games is just rising, where they're approaching the cost of making a movie, tens, 40, 50 million dollars or more. And so if we can enable one guy to create a game like this and everybody loves to play, then that's great.
Absolutely. And which actually brings up a good point. I mean, when you think about game development, it really is like making a movie, although it's actually more complicated than making a movie because of how dynamic it needs to be, right?
Right.
You make a left instead of a right, you make this strategic mistake instead of that strategic mistake, different things can happen, and you have to keep it really, really interesting. Otherwise, people are going to get bored.
Right.
Right? And it's going to be considered easy. So it's super challenging.
And they always, technology and customer demands are always growing, and so the game you shipped 2 years ago is, it's not going to be good enough. You need to do something better, and that goes into increasing the costs and complexities.
Cool. Now, I guess it's silly to ask this, but, I mean, you guys are gamers. I mean,
clearly.
Yeah.
You play a lot of games.
Absolutely, yeah. We play games on Xbox all the time.
Uh-huh.
We definitely have games where we play as a team, like Rock Band and stuff, even at work once in a while.
Yeah.
So that's pretty fun. We play, Gears of War and that kind of stuff online from time to time and stuff. So we definitely play games, too.
Excellent. So what's your favorite game?
Mine right now is probably Rock Band. I think it's a really fun game to play, even if you're not with a ton of people. Like, it's just a good game.
Cool.
For me, it's probably Call of Duty 4 and Halo 3, playing online.
Playing online with other people, shooting other people while we're playing online?
Yes, interacting with other people.
How about you?
I actually got the, I don't know if this will show up, it's a Rock Band pin.
I see it.
Drums, which is what I play.
Nice.
In real life, it's sort of a prerequisite with Rock Band drums, I think.
Yeah.
You play a little bit in real life. And I think if you don't play a little in real life, and then you get good at Rock Band drums, you should get try to play it in real life, because you'll be good, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that. I just got Devil May Cry 4, too, and I had to like tear through that, because it was right before GDC, and I was like, I'm not going to get halfway through this game and then, you know, be in San Francisco for a week and I didn't mm-hmm. finish it. That's how big of a nerd I am.
Was it a good game?
Yeah, it was awesome, yeah. I mean, that's you know, that whole look is, you know, one of my big influences for Dishwasher. That and Ninja Gaiden too, and I'm waiting for that one. That's going to be sweet. Messed up looking.
Yeah, it's looking good.
Yeah.
So I just want to talk a little bit about the development experience that you had making this game, right? You had to put all the pieces together. I'm assuming you're using XNA Studio Express, which is a free edition of the software these guys produce mm-hmm. over here. What was it like? I mean, you have your music files and your images, and a lot of people don't really know what goes on to make a game, right? Because you have your experience, then you have the code that actually brings it to life. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about your architecture and experience.
Well, the audio, it's all through Exact, you know, it's basically like you're set up with an audio engine, you know, with the old DirectX technologies, you'd have to sort of create it yourself, your audio engine, mm-hmm. you know, your behaviors and stuff, and Exact, you create a project, you create cues, Which you guys probably know more about this than I do. These guys are like, technical issue, that's not quite right.
Sorry. Well, I mean, you're the one that implemented this and experienced it, so right. Kind of the root of the question. It's like what you did and...
Okay, yeah, I mean, but yeah, just in terms of like putting together an audio project, it's something else, it's a bit of a learning curve, but like compared to actually implementing an engine, you know, yourself, it's a breeze.
Cool.
Yeah, so there's that, and then graphics go through the content pipeline, and that's for, you know, it's a two-dimensional game, so it's all, you know, sprites that I'm working with, so it's so simple to set up.
What have you been using to create them?
Oh, the program, the art program?
Yeah.
Or PaintShop Pro, like 6 or 7. I got it when I was in college. It was like $100 or something, you know. I love the program, and I think they're up to version like 10 now, you know, but I wouldn't trade it.
That's cool. And so, I mean, how does it, so we got DirectX under the covers, right? It provides all the...
Right, so DirectX provides, you know, we're building on top of Direct 3D9, for example, for all of our graphics. I mean, it allows people to write complex effects like shader effects and mm-hmm. high-level shaders. Then we have some helper APIs on top of that, like the sprite batch that allows people to do 2D stuff very quickly without having to like start writing a shader just to get something going on the screen.
This is all sprite batch right there.
I know, see? Yeah. And we almost didn't put it in there. We're like, you know what? We should probably put this in.
Nice.
And now look.
Great. You saved my game.
Yeah, so DirectX and Exact is the audio runtime that he mentioned. Mm-hmm. We use X Input, which allows, you know, the Xbox 360 controller, both on Windows and Xbox. We make use of the other technologies that the XNA team makes.
Cool.
And then we make them so that it feels familiar and easy to use for .NET developers. You know, when they come to it, they're like, oh, yeah, this feels like the .NET framework. You know, it doesn't feel like DirectX. And, mm-hmm. you know, how do I even learn? So,
yeah,
definitely one of our goals.
Very cool. And as far as, you know, actually building out the storyline and the sort of the fluid motion, are you working on some sort of design surface inside Visual Studio?
I mean, for the like the character animation.
Yeah. What's going on there?
I made my own tools for that.
You made your own tools for that.
Yeah. It's sort of like this modular setup. Where a character is composed of arms and torsos and legs. Well, just one torso per character.
Yeah.
But I basically got like a palette of like heads, torsos, arms, legs, weapons and stuff. And there's this, they're arranged hierarchically into frames and then animations and then characters. Mm-hmm. You know, I like it.
Cool.
It works.
Yeah, there's no like design. Like GUI design like a Visual Basic program or Windows Forms. It's all, when you're working in Visual Studio, it's all code-driven. You know, you're working at the code level. And then a lot of developers will create tools to help them do things like animation or particle effects or something like that.
Okay. Tools I create are usually the most user-unfriendly things in the entire galaxy. Oh, man. I swear. I'll have the letter S in the middle of somewhere, and if you click it, it'll change to A or something, and that'll mean something, you know?
Nice.
You know, those are my buttons.
Right.
Just text in the middle of nowhere.
Nice.
Cool. So only tools that only you can use.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess what color the background is on the tools?
Gray.
Come on. Oh, no, come on.
What?
Cornflower blue.
Oh.
Yeah. Cornflower blue.
Yep, yep.
All right.
Yeah. That's our...
What's the significance of that?
So our default game, you create a new project, and you know you clear the screen every time before you draw, and we needed a color. We didn't want to do black, so we picked cornflower blue, just because it's actually not a bad color.
Is that a Fight Club thing?
I don't think it really was.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories out on the web that it actually came from Fight Club, but I think it was more of just a random coincidence of events that we chose cornflower blue.
We were sitting in my office... And, you know, like a regular sync meeting, and like Paul Bleich, Tom Miller, and Sean, and I needed the color. I think Tom's the first one that shouted, cornflower blue. And I'm like, is that color really, do we have that in there?
Cornflower blue.
Yeah. I can't think of anything in the room that...
It's sky blue. It's very light blue.
Okay.
Maybe somewhere in like right there.
Yeah.
You see that? I'm at a funny angle. Like right there, would you say?
Yeah.
Right where you
think. Turns out that it's good if you're making an outdoor game, or you could draw some sprites, some tiles, or you know, some grass or something, and then you don't have to do a sky because it actually turns out to be a fairly decent.
Cool.
They wouldn't call it
sky.
See,
we're saving people again.
Excellent.
Don't have to focus on sky. We have sky technology right in.
Try not to make that a selling point.
So, just a quick question about... the ability to create a game as he's done and get it up on arcade, can it be a multiplayer game?
Yep.
Can I add that kind of functionality to it pretty easily?
Yeah. We have networking support, so you can create multiplayer games that work over Xbox Live. In fact, he's got it in there now, I believe.
Right.
So who would you play? Other mad dishwashers? Or?
Well, it's a co-op mode. Yeah, arcade stuff that we saw.
Yeah.
Arcade mode, you can do co-op, so you know, you and a buddy can team up.
Team up.
Yeah, take down some evil cyborgs. But yeah, I'm sort of working on the whole netplay thing. You know, it's a lot. Like I played with Winsock years ago, and it's ugly. You know, I mean, it gets the job done, but it's ugly. And you know, I love all the, you know, you just send reliable. You know, and it's like, okay, now we know that's going to get there, it's unreliable in order, you know. So, you know, just based on what you need to do, you just, you know, you tell it how to send, you know, and it gets the job done, you know. And it's, I don't know, I was surprised because I wasn't all that confident in my network code ability. And I was surprised that, it all worked out. Now, in terms of how it's going to work with, like, you know, 100 milliseconds latency... We'll see, because it's just such a rapid game.
Right.
So we'll see how that happens. You know, it might be... it might turn out that you just will never want to play this game against someone in Belgium. You know?
Yeah, there's probably some... Don't they have, like, there's Street Fighters out there, and there's a lot of fighting games that are very timing-based.
I tried playing Gears of War with the guy in Belgium, and it was terrible. Some co-op. The Little Gamers guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we tried playing some Gears. That is another game that is available through this limited... What are we calling it?
Community games?
Yeah. Are we calling it limited trial?
Oh, this right now? Yeah, so what we have right now, if people out there haven't heard, and if they get this video in time, what we did was we took...
What is that supposed to mean, man? No, I'm just kidding.
Because, it's actually this... You have to do it by Sunday, so in 2 days. So hurry up and publish this.
Uh-huh.
So what we did was we took Dishwasher, Dead Samurai, and six other community games and actually put them out there. So they're out there now, today. So if you go... Actually, I think in the Majors Minute, you have a video walkthrough. So actually, the you go to Marketplace, look for XNA, Creator Club Launcher, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. You download that, then you go into the game store, or into the Games Blade, and hit Y to download games, and you'll see the 7 games. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the, like, today on Xbox or whatever, there's Major Nelson did an interview with Michael where he walked him through how you download them and stuff. So
cool.
So yeah, they're going to be available to play for a couple weeks to kind of give a taste of what we'll unleash this holiday.
Outstanding.
Awesome.
It will be.
Now, can these games run on Windows? They have to run on Xbox.
So the community games, the distribution system we're creating is for Xbox
only.
But the XNA Framework and Game Studio works on Windows.
Sure.
And Xbox 360 and Zune as well, which was another
Zune. Announcement.
Yeah.
I was wondering why you had your Zune there. What's going on?
So one of the other big keynote announcements that we had at GDC this year was kind of the announcement of what will become XNA Game Studio 3.0. And basically one of the first big features that we're talking about is the ability to target the Zune devices and create Zune games with XNA Game Studio.
Nice.
So it's a pretty cool thing. It kind of starts up something, you know, that we did with Xbox, where we're opening up a platform for developers that traditionally was closed and letting people write games for a cool device.
Absolutely. So do you have a game running on that one?
Absolutely. So I have here a Zune 80. And
nice.
This is one of the new Zunes. This is the hard drive-based device. Now, our beta will actually work with all three versions of Zune that are available today. So the current Zune 30s that were available last year, the new Zune 80s like this, and then the flash device Zunes, which are the Zune 4 and the Zune 8. So you can see I went to games there on the main menu, and I have some games here. Now, all of these games were developed internally by people on the XNA CGP or Zune teams just to try out the platform as we were building it and that sort of thing. So the one we showed during the keynote was called Zori, and it's a neat little space shooter game. So I can go to that, and I'll hit play. And basically, we're going to load up the game, and this is basically all running on the .NET Compact framework.
Nice.
All the code was written in C#, and the experience is a lot like what developers have with XNA Game Studio today. You connect it up to your PC and can deploy your game over to the Zune. So I'll select New Game, and you can see I'm just kind of putting my thumb across the Zune pad, which is the input device, and basically using that to control the ship. So it's touch sensitive, and using that, and I can click the Zune pad, and it'll throw out a smart bomb and destroy all the enemies on the screen. So it's actually like a really cool, as we've shown people this, they've been really impressed by just the overall performance and just how the game plays and that sort of thing. And this was just something that we put together to test. And that's what's really cool. We also have a lot of APIs that will let you get access to a user's media library. So if I hit pause on here, I can actually go over here to my playlists, and I have two playlists, including the quick list on my Zune, and I can select that. Oh, sorry. And go hit that, and the song would start playing on the device, and I could go back directly into the game, and the music would be playing back right now.
Nice. That is really, really cool. The compact framework on the Zune.
Yes, yeah.
Excellent.
Yep.
Which enables a whole suite of things, yes?
Yes, absolutely. This we think that some people will be able to create some really interesting gameplay experiences on the Zune.
Cool.
So.
In fact, maybe we could get your game on the Zune, huh? I mean, theoretically.
Theoretically.
Right? You can play it with your thumb.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What are some of the constraints? What are some of the constraints one has to think about?
So, right now, I mean, it's a subset of the XNA framework. So kind of the methodology we take with it is if you started a game on Zune, it's actually going to work on Xbox and Windows with really no changes required. So the Zune is a 2D-only device, so you have to use the Sprite Batch APIs, which are available on Windows and Xbox 360. There's not a lot of 3D capability that you could do on it besides like basic software rasterization, that type of thing. beyond that, the input of the device actually maps to an Xbox 360 controller. So clicking up would just be like you're clicking up on an Xbox 360 controller and that type of thing to keep the APIs compatible again. We've also introduced some new sound APIs and media playback APIs that you saw or that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And those are something we want to make available on Xbox 360 and Windows, but just haven't yet.
Really, really cool.
Yeah.
So you can listen to music, play games, and who knows what else is coming for this device, huh?
Yeah, and
very cool.
I mean, we totally understand that the Zune is really a media device, and that's what it does well. It plays music well, it shows pictures and video mm-hmm. well, and what we think is cool about this is that users can leverage that great functionality in an XNA game that the XNA Game Studio game that they cool. build for their Zune.
So basically for, you know, already the .NET developers out there that are already targeting I always call it the tiny CLR, which it's not. It's the compact framework.
Right.
I don't know why I always do that, because I'm just going to keep doing it.
Okay.
And their development experience is sort of going to be like new XNA Zune game or something, yep. new compact Zune game or whatever.
That's pretty much exactly what it is. So just like in XNA Game Studio 2.0, you select File New and select Xbox Game, you do File New and select Zune Game.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's just so sweet.
Yeah, right.
I have to say.
Yeah, cool stuff. It's definitely a cool development.
Definitely, man. You know, it's one of the things I don't think we give enough credit to the what Visual Studio has enabled in that sense, right? I mean, for developers, it's just natural to start your experience off in such a simple way.
Right.
I really like that whole solution model that's been there since 1.0.
Absolutely, and you get to use all the same cool Visual Studio features, debugging, watching variables and stuff as you're debugging on the Zune. It's just mm-hmm. like working with the Xbox 360, so we give you performance tools and that sort of thing as well to help you.
Now, what about, like, clearly gaming is highly concurrent, right? So most games are going to need some level of threading.
Uh-huh.
So what kind of threading control would I have on a
so,
game?
So you do have threads on the Zune, so you can do multiple operations at once. Mm-hmm. Unlike the Xbox, of course, there's only one core and one processor in the Zune.
Oh.
So, you can't do a massive kind of games. But, I mean, kind of what we're showing with the games today is that we've created really compelling games, and they run really well on the Zune.
Very cool. Excellent. Right on. So what's next for you? Got to ask that. I mean, you're the star of the show here. I had to go through your PR to set this up, which I thought was very interesting.
He's got his people now.
Yeah, you got your people now. So, so what's next? Like, what's going on? What's your future?
I just finished a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You still a dishwasher?
No, it's been a while. Yeah.
Okay.
I was I was a college student. I got a master's in computer science, and then
cool.
I just started having, like, I just got a real job, and they sort of Chris Satchel asked me about this. Right, I told him about the keynote, but I was at this point in my life where I was like, all right, James, you're done with college, give up the whole video game dream, get a real job, grow up, and now it's like 2 months into the real job, Game Fest happens.
Yeah.
So. Pulled you right back in.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would argue you should not worry about a real job until you're in your 30s.
Okay.
Seriously.
Advice taken.
Well, I'd recommend it. You definitely have the skills to make money, right? That'll get you through, right? Write some code for a couple of 6 months and then live your life.
Yeah.
Be my advice until you have a family and have to really worry about stuff. Right on. Well, hey, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And, thank you guys for enabling this type of creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll say also, just to make sure our website gets part of this, if you want to download the tools or keep up with what's going on with Zune or the community stuff Mitch talked about, mm-hmm. please go to creators.xna.com and you can get all kinds of information as well as our blogs and stuff to kind of keep up with what's going on.
Excellent. And we're going to come visit you guys in Redmond. We're going to dig into this stuff a little more deeply.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Please.
Come
all right. Take care, you guys.
All right,
thank you.
See you.